October 26, 2021, so watch for Pete Rose Show.
Thank you.
Watford Pedro Show, happy Tuesday. Started off John Coltrane doing Lazy Bird. I just got those Coltrane changes there, okay? For you people studying up on your harmonies. Los Villains, 99.
Yeah.
12. Yeah, people, you can hear that. I'm not man alone because those Skype engineers, well, they were Estonian engineers that came with Skype. And because of that invention, I got with me Fredo Ortiz. Welcome aboard, Fredo.
Right on, man. Thanks for having
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Yeah, Los Villains, 99. Look, I want to get in. We got to thank Stevie Bono for the connect. And we were just talking off air, people, about some connects in our between us, like Money Mark Nishida, Mario Delgado.
Yeah.
And the Gardena connect, which is where Fredo
was. South Bay, man.
Right. Talking to me now. It used to be, I remember first time I would go there because, I just came from Virginia. And if you sold enough paper subscriptions, you could get tickets to Ascot Raceway.
Oh, man, I used to go to sleep listening to that roar.
I was right near there. They would say, like, where the Artesia and San Diego freeways collide.
It's a salvage yard now.
Yeah, right, yeah. Can you imagine having a full-on racetrack in the middle of a town? That would never happen, but there was trippy shit. Stuff like... Speedway, you know, these motorcycles had no brakes. You just had a steel shoe on the port side.
Yeah.
It was just in sprint car stuff and demolition derby and doom buggy for figure eight. Yeah. But I want to get into your journey through music. Fredo, please bring me your earliest musical recollection memory.
My earliest, let's see. Wow. Well, I mean, in the house, my dad, records everywhere, you know, from every genre, you know, from The Who to Los Lobos to, you know, some Javier Solis, you know, just all over the map, you know. But, you know, there was an acoustic guitar in my house.
Okay. Did you jump on it?
My dad wanted to play, but he never got deep into it, you know, so he knew a little bit.
What about yourself? But, did you jump on that piano or that guitar?
I jumped on the piano. I jumped on that acoustic guitar and, you know, made up my own songs, whatever it was, you know, at 5 years old, you know. But I think, they saw the interest and, you know, the drums came in probably when I was about six. And my uncle Gaston had bought me one of those Toys R Us drum sets, you know, and it was, you know, the heads were made of paper.
Right.
You know, lasted me a week, you know, probably lasted me a week and the heads tore and my dad's like, oh, I think we need to get this kid the real thing.
Yeah, fucking Kevin in the Urinals, that first record they did, he's recording on one of them things.
No way.
Peachy way, yeah.
Wow.
I wouldn't bullshit you. They didn't know, you know, they were film students at UCLA. Hey, that's because of the movement, right? Let's make a band.
Right.
So can I ask you about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band or shit like that?
I went to school in Pico Rivera. I didn't even go to school in Gardena.
That's the other side of the Harbor Freeway.
Yeah, the other side, you know, 30-mile drive, 91 to 605, every day of my young life. You know, my mom was a teacher and also a coordinator for LA Unified. So she worked in Downey, so that was, you know, we used somebody else's address. And the schools that I went to always had a music class.
Great.
And I think in fifth grade, you know, they're like, hey, any kids that are interested, come and, you know, check this out. And they gave me, you know, I chose drums, so they gave me one of those Remo drum pads.
Oh, like a practice pad thing, right?
The practice pad, you know, and I was like, okay, this is cool, you know, and then it went from that to, you know, the concert band. They're like, well, what do you want to play? You know, so they put me in the percussion section, so I was messing with timpanis and, you know, snare drums, triangle, the whole bit, Black man, you know.
And did you do the marching band?
Eventually in high school.
Okay.
And high school was kind of where, you know, I got my real studies on, where, you know, I started learning rudiments and reading music and, you know, and also meeting my future friends that were all musicians, you know, at this school. So.
Yeah, Vital Connect stage. Can I ask you the first record you bought with your own money, Fredo?
Man, the first record I bought, I think, was Men at Work.
Okay, and the first gig you went and saw?
And the first gig I went and saw, I mean, it has to be Los Lobos, because that's you know, my early recollection of an experience with a band.
Yeah.
You know, but when, you know, when I actually wanted to go see a concert, here's the trippy thing. Like the bands that I mentioned and that we're going to talk about were bands that I was already looking up and listening to. So, you know, my dad took me to go see the Beastie Boys and Run DMC at the Greek Theater in 86.
Me and Pettibone were at that gig.
Yeah, man.
I remember one of the Run DMC, maybe Run, said, man, I just got some new Levi's. I was like, whoa, yeah. Yeah, I think they were there a couple nights, but so maybe we weren't at the same one, but maybe we were.
Yeah, and you know, I was like, I mean, I went to go, you know, Run DMC was, you know, on the top of the list, and then Beasties were, you know, on the bill, and I was like, oh, wait, yeah, I know this record, and like, what's that, you know, the show was intense, right? They had the cages and the fucking penis and the whole night, but I was sold, man. I was like, oh, this is... I mean, the beats and everything that was going on, I was like, this is, I went home and I think I immediately bought the tape or, you know, the record or something like
that.
So
you didn't know they were hardcore first?
Not at all. Not at all. I had no idea. You know, I was, you know, I was, what, 13 years old, you know? I was barely getting into the game, man.
So let me ask you this. You're learning stuff in school, you know, academic, and you're learning the skills and the... like you call them rudiments and really important stuff. Any outside lessons?
Outside lessons, I think, well, the only one that I had outside was in Gardena. There was a music store, and they were giving lessons, but I went for guitar lessons. And what, you know, kind of like, so the teacher would, you know, sit me down. He's like, all right, you know, you have that little footstool that you put your foot on. You have your acoustic guitar and, you know, the little thin music stand that folds up and falls apart. And so he's like, here, play this. It's Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. He's like, I'll be right back. And he takes off and I do my line, you know, whatever. And I put the guitar down, and what's in the corner over there? A full Remo practice pad drum set. You know, it's like it had all the drums, right? All the pads.
Right.
And the teacher comes back, and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" I was like, "I don't know. This is kind of cool." He's like, "Get back on the guitar." that day, I went home and I said, "Mom, I'm done with the guitar." Yeah, she's like, "The hell you're not! I paid for lessons. You're going to play that guitar." I was like, nah, Mom, I don't, which I regret to this day because, you know, I dabble with some guitar and bass, but it's all by ear, you know, it's all by what someone teaches me, you know, but, you know, it's like the drums was the gravity, and I gravitated to that. So that was the outside kind of schooling where, I got bits and pieces here and there. My dad sent me to, it was a music conservatory at Cal State LA, like Saturday mornings, like 7 a.m., you know, and that was the thing. It's like, oh, I got to wake up early and then go there. And, you know, I got some good, like, musical theory and vocal and drum. And
plus, your cat's a lot older than you. That must have been a trip.
Yeah, definitely. And I was getting some bits and pieces of information here and there, you know.
Right, right. Well, what about after school, not like graduation, but afternoon, garage band, basement band, a bedroom band?
Not till I was in high school, but, you know, a good friend of mine from my neighborhood here, you know, we used to ride, you know, our GT Diamondback bikes and stuff and skate on the street and, you know, go steal wood from the neighborhood construction site and build like little launch ramps and stuff. And, but he said that there would be a time of day where I would say, all right, guys, I'll see you later. And I would go home, and they're like, well, what do you do? Why are you going home? Like, hang out. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go practice. So I would go home just because I had the opportunity to go play my drums or go, you know, mess with something. You know, I was also, like, making, you know, mixtapes on my dual cassette recorder and making, you know, listening to KDAY, you know.
Oh, yeah,
and
I remember KDAY.
You know, and
I fucking worked across the street, 43rd.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, Pinchy Way. What was his name? His daddy shot him to death because he stopped from hitting his mom. Yeah, what was his name?
I don't remember that.
Marvin Gaye, yeah. I was working there. Right, I remember because they had some speakers that were on the sidewalk, and that came over the thing as I was going. I worked for this really old lawyer, and that's where his office was. So when you did your prac, was it like just man alone, or did you, like George Hurley used the old headphone with the Who record on or the Billy Cobham record and just whale do it? How did you prac?
I would blast the stereo and play along to it.
Okay.
You know, I have a basement here in the house. It's rather small, but I have a basement enough for a drum set.
Yeah.
And I think, at the time I was playing to, what was I playing to? I think I had the, well, I had a Suicidal tape that my friend gave me in fifth grade. And then it was that. It was Minute Work, and then it was like
that, you know, one of their bass guys was really Luigi, man. I dug him.
Oh, Luigi, yeah, man, Horny Toad.
Horny Toad, right? The band he did after. He's Ska Meister, right? There was a ska thing in Gardena, huh?
I think, you know, and I kind of because I was born in 75, so I kind of missed that, those waves of like good music goodness in the neighborhood, man. It was like, and I think because I went to school over there,
that's
you know, that's where my friends were.
Sure.
And I mean, you know, you fast forward to the Villains, you know, in high school, I met one of my good friends, Louie, you know, and he's like, come join my band. So I've been driving from Gardena to Whittier to actually play music.
Whittier.
Now.
You know, you mentioned Downey, too, and good friends of the Lobos Cats was Blasters, and that's where they were from.
We just played with them at the Orange County Fair.
Small world.
Yeah, man.
Everything's connected.
The brothers came on stage and played with us, man. We played a flat top joint.
Bitchin'. Look, I want to hear about Villains, but you gave me the songs with Motley, which is another fucking bitchin' band that you
played
with. Yeah, Eva. Let's listen.
Thank you.
people show that chunk of music start off. Ozzy Motley, Eva. And this is a band, people that got a bass man running it. He's the fucking heffy. And he's great.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's Will great. Dog.
Yep. Will Dog. And then Uli, we were talking off air, and Uli's helped me with Sock Tide Project, me and Raymond Pettibone got, and just blowing sax, you know, between Raymond and
Raymond. Nice.
Brand new out of Barcelona, a tune called Prehistorico from Argo, brand new band. It's got Hermano Milo, a Chile guy who lives in Barcelona. He's got his own little studio and stuff. SLWCC Watt. This is collab with Sam Lockward now with City Captains out. Guide by Voices, Bob Pollard, new album. Chain Gang Island, Deerhoof, their new album, Department of Corrections. It's the tune, Bombas Prendon, Belt Loop Guru. Everybody's been in jail knows about that. Kira, Kay's got a new album, It Can't Be. Good Fuck from Chicago with Lavish Indignities. Pastel de Nada doing TV personality, it's like England comedy rock sort of tribute cassette I got in the mail. Silly Things Lovers Do. And finally, Lyra or Lyra?
Lyra.
Lyra. How's my face? That's a great chat. So, okay, Louis wants you in the fucking Villains.
Yeah.
Now, you've never played in a band. You never brought anybody down in your basement. It was only Man Alone Track Pad, right?
It was Man Alone Track Pad, and, you know, and none of my friends on the block played instruments. Well, there was a guy across the street that had a double bass drum set. He'd open up his front door and play to the neighborhood. So that was kind of an influence right there. But he's the guy with the Iron Maiden shirts. And
right. Probably that clicky ass kind of kid drum set. Exactly,
you know? But that was, other than that, you know, it was, I got, you know, the day that he asked me to play, you know, he's like, come over to my friend's house. And I was like, oh, first time I took my drum set out of the house, I had a permit, I drove to Whittier, set them up, and the rest is history. I was like, I was sold. I was like, yeah, they're like, sounds good. I guess I had the right idea of what to do, and, you know, and we...
Well, did they, direct you? I mean, this is your first band, so or they just started playing, you played along with them. What any...
Yeah, we just started jamming, I followed.
And the material was all Los Villains 99 material, or did you...
We were doing some punk rock, you know? It was just straight up, you know... Straight up Bad Brain style punk rock, and
but
know,
it was still your
rock.
Tunes, right? Or were you? But it was,
yeah, they were. It was their tunes. I mean, Louis and the band, they were already writing stuff. They had stuff ready to go. And then once I came into the picture, he's like, oh, and you know, I had that intuition of like following along what he was doing.
Sure, and they hadn't done any gigs yet. They got some songs?
No, it was no gigs. We were just jamming. And then, you know, and then it was just like, okay, well, let's jam tomorrow. And then, you know, we were working up to, you know, playing a backyard party, you know, somewhere in Alhambra or something like that.
Okay. I used to get my records at Alberti in Alhambra, Montebello.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah, pressing the New Alliance stuff. Can you remember the first Los Villains 99 gig you did?
Very first one, I don't remember, but I remember the first time we actually thought we made it to Hollywood.
Okay.
We were booked at the Natural Fudge Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
And, and you know, and it came out in the paper, in the LA Weekly. I clipped it and laminated, you know.
Yeah, like, of course.
You know, I was like, oh, this is the first gig. We made it, man. We made it. And we get there, you know, and you know, the guy, I forget the guy that was engineering, he wore a cowboy hat. He's like, give me $10, I'll record the show for you. So we gave him $10. He handed us the tape. I put the tape in my car, my tape deck, and it's blank.
You forgot to hit record.
Dude, we got to hit record.
What do you call that? Pilot error. Yeah. You can't blame the airplane.
Yeah, man. And then, you know, there was a lot of backyard parties in Alhambra and Whittier, and We were a tight band, man. And Louis, as a front man, you know, this guy, just the energy this guy had and his vocals. And we were a three piece. It was my friend Billy Harrigan, Louis Perez on guitar and vocals and on drugs.
Well, this tune he gave me was great. So you guys must have went into a studio because there was nothing on that fucking cassette.
eventually, that was part of a record that came out called Punk Rock Powwow that we did with our
friend. And is
friend
that your
Paul
first
Drake.
Recording? Is that your first time in the studio?
I want to say, yeah. Some of the first recordings were with the Villains because we had our 8-track, you know, Tascam tape recorder, and we had a demo that had like 20 or 30 songs on it already, you know. It's like,
and how long does this last, Fredo?
It lasted, well, shit, we haven't played music together for like close to 18 years. So, you know, I mean, that we met in like 92, you know, and then I started touring in 96. I think we lasted as a band till the early 2000s.
Wow, you know, that's quite a time. Well, let me ask you this. After you get out of high school, do you pursue higher education music learning?
I wanted to pursue higher education, being that my mom was an educator.
Right.
She's like, you're going to school. She's like, you're going to work on transferring to university, get school out of the way. And I had music wasn't like at the top of the list. It was just something I was doing on the regular.
Yeah.
Something that I was interested in, but I was doing it. You know, my parents had me involved in whatever program that was going on. And, of course, the marching band and the talent shows. And,
sure.
You know, and we were, and I was doing parades all around town. So that was a thing, right? And right. I'd come back and practice at home, but not knowing where it was going to lead to. And I do this talent show with Louie and the Villains, and then that leads to, like, hey, come and practice, and all of a sudden we're doing gigs. And then I graduate, and there was another band that came out of that same high school called Yeska, which I also put on the list of MPBs.
Yeah, yeah.
That you have. They started playing shows, and I ended up joining them. So all of a sudden, I'm in two bands. And then, you know, Ozomali comes soon after that, and I find myself kind of in the swirl of musicians and music and L.A. scene and playing at Al's Bar and, you know, the Troy Cafe and, like,
so
you know.
So you're saying your music education is the school of life.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Learning by doing, right?
Full-on experience, man.
Right,
like,
right.
Get in there and do it. Put it on and play. And
I mean, theory's okay and stuff and can open up possibilities, but
That it helps you along the way, but,
yeah.
You know, and it's not to say that don't learn that stuff, but I never really had to use any of it.
Right, right, right.
It was your own mental and
it was
your
like,
heart,
you know,
your intuition.
Sort of like shop class. They don't have those anymore in high school and stuff, but it was like vocational. Playing in these bands, learning by doing. Beautiful, Fredo. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, October 26, 2021, edition of Wap Pedos, your special guest, Fredo Ortiz. Hold tight for hour two.
Yep.
October 26, 2021, it's the second hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
We've been through so much bullshit just to be here tonight to rock your fucking socks off. And all we ask in return is so precious little. All we're asking you to do is drop trow and squeeze out a Cleveland steamer on my chest.
Oh.
2, 3, 4, get out of the cage, get out of me.
For Pedro Show, start the second hour off with Beastie Boys, Succo di Tangerina, and Howie Reeve out of Glasgow, Sink or Swim, landowner, south of the border in England with Swiss Pavilion, and then James Twig Harper and Rubber O Cement with the Weapons of Goat Horns and Diabetes Mellitus. And then finally, Tenacious D, Rock Your Socks.
Rock Your Socks.
Incredible cat. Hermosa, you know, he was telling me when he was younger, Hermosa Beach for a little bit. So South Bay and all of us, Fredo. So, okay, the Yeska guys were actually cats you went to school with?
The same high school that I met Louis right. from the Villains.
But what's the connect with the Ozzo Motleys?
So the drummer Anton that was playing with the band Yeska was friends with those guys
right.
Before they started the group. And I think because, I mean, we were playing all around town. We were, you know, we're doing a lot of local ska scene stuff. And then we ended up, yes, they started opening up for like Celia Cruz and Tito Puente and kind of getting into the Latin scene.
Yep.
But so that exposure, I guess, you know, then that's when Wildog was like, you know, he had his own groups and I think he wanted to start a group and he started picking his musicians, right?
Yeah.
Then when Yeska was kind of on break, then he was like, hey, Fredo, come play tamales. Hey, Ulysses, come play. You know, sax.
You know, there was a rapper for a little while in the band, Charlie Tuna. Who lived in Pedro.
Oh, yeah, no way.
Yeah, for a little bit, yeah. And I thought that was so cool when I found that out. I think at that time they had the Cut Chemist.
Yeah, Cut Chemist was DJing. So that was the time that the first incarnation of it, you know, and I was there until, you know, I eventually got the opportunity to play for the Beasties, you know, and that kind of is connected to playing with the Villains because I was playing a Villains gig, you know, when I met Money Mark.
Oh, so Money Mark he was the invite for the BCC.
He was the link, yeah.
Right. He brought in Mario. He ends up the sound man. Money Mark and Sheeta.
I think Mario brought him in, I believe.
Oh, okay. One or the other, but
yeah.
Connectors, you know? Connectors.
Right.
And, When did you have to do an audition?
For who?
For any of these cats. Louis asked you because he knew you were already playing and just.
I mean, that first jam, I guess, would have been the audition, right?
Right.
Because
it
could have been like, this dude sucks. Like, you know, can't keep a beat. But it was like, oh, this dude can keep a fucking beat.
Fuck you very much.
let's keep it going. And then, Yeska was the thing where I would go to the rehearsals just to hang out because I knew the guys.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know, the drummer got like a wood block, you know, and we're like, oh, shit, percussion.
Clave.
Team for the clave, you know. And then they're like, hey, Fredo, don't you have timbales at home? I'm like, yeah, my dad bought timbales, and I don't know what to do with two toms and a cowbell. I'm sorry.
Some dudes, they fucking tighten their snares that they end up sounding like timbales or hungry,
yeah, exactly,
hungry
right?
seals, right? Or the
ska snares, man, that scatolite snare that he uses, that bing.
Well, like Tom Watson, he loves, what's it called, King Crimson, and Bill Bruford, man.
Yeah.
He plays good, but that hungry seal snare drum sound, man.
Oh, man.
You got to coax it, bro. So, but with the Beasties, right?
So, Beasties come around. Well, Mark's like, Their percussionist kind of.
I think I was on that tour. Was it the Flex Your Head?
Check Your Head.
Well, yeah, that's the other one.
It was
Minor Threat,
it was,
right?
It was the next record. It was the It was the next record. I like Flex Your Head, though.
But I remember Flex they were having trouble. They had a guy who actually knew the stuff, right? He knew Cubano guys and stuff. He was telling me.
I know that they have the history with the Cubano guys, and then the guy that I replaced was Eric Bobo.
No, he's the guy after.
He's the guy after. Yeah, that was the El Communication record. And I had just seen them at the Velodrome at that Lollapalooza that happened there. Like, I don't know, was it 94 or something like that?
Yeah, see, that's right after, right? It's the last Fire Hose tour.
I was just, you know, we were at the Nova Express Cafe, like, uh-huh. across from Cantor's, you know.
Sure.
And a friend of Mark's was playing, their band was playing after us. And I guess since I was there, you know, the bass player told Mark, like, hey, you're looking for a percussionist. Talk to that guy. But I had no idea who Mark was, even though I had just seen him in concert. I didn't know his history. I didn't know his
You didn't know he was Dina.
No, I didn't know that either, you know. And I'm like, who is this guy talking to?
You know what?
Like,
you know, when you're a kid, though, 5 years, right, junior high, it's a different world. 5 years, right. That means nothing later, right? But in those days, yeah.
You know, and then he's like, you know, and so he started picking my brain, and then he's like, where do you live? I'm like, Gardena. He's like, what? Get out of here. He's like, did you go to Gardena High? I was like, no, I never went to school there, but I'm right there next to Prairie Junior High and Gardena Boulevard in Normandy. He's like, oh, shit, man, all right, give me your number. You know, and still the BCs hadn't been mentioned yet. You know, he's just like kind of recruiting me for his thing.
Right.
And he finally, like, lets me know. He's like, hey, I got this gig. We're going to play at this place in downtown called 50 Bucks, Santa Fe and 7th.
Yeah, I know that, Pat.
He's like, I want you to bring your congas. I was like, you don't want me to bring my drum set? He's like, no, bring your congas. I'm like, all right. I was like, I kind of know the instrument, but whatever, I'll do it. That was the one thing about everything is I never said no.
Yeah, smart.
You know, so that show, he, at the very last minute, he's like, hey, I invited Mike D and MCA. They're going to come check out the show, but we're also looking for a percussionist. So, you know, if they dig what they hear, when you're available, you might get the gig. I was like, oh, shit, okay.
Yeah.
And I called the whole neighborhood, man. I was like, dude, get down to 50 bucks. Beastie Boys are going to be there. You know, but, you know, I did my thing. I played my heart out.
Yeah.
Met the guys. You know, and the next thing they're like, hey, you got a passport? And I was like, what's a passport? And they're like, oh, shit, okay. And they still have the studio here in Atwater.
Right, above the plumber shop.
Yeah, and
you know, basketball hoop in there.
You know, I, you know, like all of us, or most of us, it's like, I love music, man. And everything, everything was coming through my record player. Hip-hop, punk rock, whatever.
Right, music's music.
Music's music. I'm loving it. Latin stuff, you know. But I knew those Beastie Boys records. So going in to play the, and I didn't have anything to do with the hip hop. It was all the instrumental stuff.
Right.
So I'm coming as a percussionist.
Yeah.
And I do it. I groove with them. They're like, cool. Sounds good. We go to Australia in about 3 weeks. You know, it's like, oh, sure, okay. And that's how it happened. That's when it went down. And you know, it's like,
did they have Hurricane? You know, was he the DJ?
He was still the DJ.
Okay. Look, you gave me this, Tomorrow Will Be Like Today from Money Mark. I want to play it.
Yeah, I'm on that. All the music I gave you, I'm performing on.
Okay, let's listen.
Choice to be chosen. Thank you. radio and at the wave. Casualty of this thing for World War III. You just have to figure out your way to whistle through this. Whistle through the mist, don't stop, but keep your sails. You just have to figure out your way to wiggle all the way. Keep your red hat, they're roaring 2020. Repeat the top of the test where you won't have to be. Casualty of this thing for World War III. You just have to figure out your way to whistle through this. Whistle through the missile stack, but keep your fist. You just have to figure out your way to wiggle all the way. The red and death, the roaring 2020. Oh yeah. The roaring 2020. From what they heard and read, if you keep on stomping grief, offering silly ass, hey brothers, sisters, we don't need you when it comes to the brand. Yeah! There are in 2020 hits, oh yeah, motherfucking renegades.
Pivo Show, that chunk of music started Money Mark, Tomorrow Will Be Like Today. Then Jerome Brierton, Damon Smith duo, I'm sorry, you cannot be both. Bounded by Water, I love Bounded by Water with Inside the Mind of a Cat. And finally, Go Go Bordello, Roaring 2020s, Metadance. Look, these guys are wild ass. Eugene, right? How'd this connect have?
Who's that?
Huge. Go-Go.
Oh, Go-Go. So, shit. How did that happen? Oh, when did it happen? Oh, wait. Hold on. I'm brain farting right now.
That's okay. That's okay. You sound great with him. And he's a good time, man. He knows how to run a show.
Definitely.
Yeah. And you could tell this guy started as a street busker or something, but beautiful. Him and Manu Chao, I think, was doing that shit in Rio for a while. Like
right, exactly. You know, they were feeding off each other, man. You know,
yeah,
they were,
right.
That, from what I hear, you know, it's kind of, you know, I met them. Oh, this is how it happened. I met them in Brazil,
okay,
in 2013, and I was with another artist, Sam Spiegel. We had a group with Derek Green from Sepultura called Maximum Headroom. We played Rio, Rock and Rio.
Yeah.
And then we had days off in Sao Paulo, and we're like, hey, our singer knew Eugene. They're like, hey, let's go check out Go-Go Bordello. And I was like, oh, shit, I think my homie Oliver, who's another L.A. cat, he used to be in Ocean 11, another ska band that we used to play with. He was the drummer. So we see the show, we check him out, go backstage, and Oliver puts his arm around me. He's like, bro, he's like, I got something to talk to you about? He's like, I'm thinking of, you know, moving on. He's like, it's kind of a trip that you're here. And he's like, I think you'd be the perfect guy. So my name was thrown into the, you know, into the hat.
Damn.
And then eventually I get a call from them and they're like, hey, come jam and come to New York City. Come jam.
So I went
to
New York City. That's a wild ass. So you just in the right place at the right time.
You know, that my life, my story has kind of been that, you know, and I've been very lucky, but, you know, also been able to back it up, you know, whatever.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It can't be just all spiel. You got to have the skills.
Right.
Yeah, big respect. Big respect to you, Fred. We're at the end of the second hour, October 26, 2021. Just Watt Peterson, special guest, Fred Ortiz. Hold tight for our Fred! October 26, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Dream of you and me. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show started the third hour off with Bongoloids, Somnophobia, then The Gullum Part 6, Marika Shahzad from the reboot Proj, reimagining the Gullum story, Pravi Poklan Zvagok, and sorry for murdering that language, Slovene people, but that's a real gift for everyone in English. In a demo from Trobukova, Krušne Peši, modern-day Slovenia, old Yugoslav, had Bogolov, brand new album, epic soundtracks, drummer man named that, with Nikki Sudden. They had a band called Swam Maps, both are gone now, beautiful cats. And then something you gave me, Fredo, P.I. Jacobs, anything. First, I want to know.
Pie Jacobs.
Oh, it's Pie. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I want to know about, because Bongoloids is your baby, right? You've had that going.
Bongoloids is my baby, and that's what I used to tell them. They're like, what'd you do today? I was like, oh, I was playing some Congoloids, Bongoloids in the studio, you know. But, I love Devo. I love Mongoloid.
Yeah, the song. Like,
and I morphed it together. I was like, that'd be kind of a fucked up band name. I like it. It became a thing, you know?
And then, just the idea of having your own band, right? Because you were all helping all these other dudes.
Right, and that comes from, being under the wing of Money Mark, yeah. Getting that life experience of watching that man work,
Yeah.
And the genius of what, I think there was one time where he's like, we were in a New York hotel room and he had his recorder with him. He's like, check this out. Give me a credit card. He put the credit card, kind of bent it, let the air hit the microphone. He's like, that's a bass drum. He's like, give me that plastic bag. Hit the plastic bag. That's a snare drum. Okay, let's get some street sounds, and open up the window and record some street sounds. I was like, oh, shit, so I'm getting Pro Tools 101 from this guy. If that's not inspiration, tell me what is. It's like, I'm going to try it. I can dabble with the bass. I can dabble with the guitar. I learned some bar chords from Louis, the Villains, and my experience playing piano and the guitar. So I did it. And every song is a different style, a different genre, but I did it my own. And I put it out and I did a Kickstarter and it got funded.
Are you on all the instruments or do you have buddies playing with you?
I'm on most of the instruments. There's maybe a few people that are either singing backups or playing the lead guitar, but I'm most of the instruments.
Man. Oh, great, man. See what you can do nowadays, people, we got the technology. I got is to have the creativity.
Right.
Money Mark. For a while he was starting gigs saying, this is what I do. I can wake up in the morning and I get on the drums. He gets on the drum set, right?
The calisthenics, man.
Now, hit me to Pie Jacobs.
Pie Jacobs is some artist from L.A. And I get called for gigs and sessions. And when I do, it just turns into a friendship and a relationship. And I've recorded a couple records for her and a few singles. And that was one song that I thought, I wanted to show her some love too, cause, she's been supporting me over the years. It's been quite a few years. She's still traveling now, but.
No, I know what you mean. Afraid of the same. It's one of the big reasons I do this show. Georgie, myself, D Boone, we got exposure. So I try to give like a payback. Like you said.
Right, yeah.
Kind of a debt.
Exactly.
Look, finally I'm going to play the Yeska. Now, if I was smart enough, I would have played the Yeska way up in the first hour, but I'm an idiot and a slow learner. But now I know. Fourth generation.
wish I could be near. Let me talk to Dad. Is he okay? I sit and think of you every day. Did it take you long to pass the clouds? Way up high, flying round. Is it warm up there? Do you get to dance? Please don't worry, I fed the plants. Lift me up, my day turns bright. Thought you should know everything's alright. You keep me warm when nights are cold. Phone keeps on ringing, but no one's home. You pick me up when I'm down. Sing my song for mom and dad. I thank you for the life I need. Sasha says hi, man, she's so funny.
Right, not goodbye so fast. And I'll be
But for Pedro, shall we start off the third hour? No, we didn't. Final music for this edition. What? You're in the wrong fucking place of time.
How you doing?
We had Yeska with Fourth Generation.
He's doing good.
Been Planning for Burial out of Pennsylvania with Anik. New York City, Let's Go to the Beach.
I'm San Pedro.
Ray Shin, Third Chances.
He's interviewing me, kind of going over
Autumn from Rock Church.
As a musician. And,
Fredo here's given two interviews. He's got a Pedro interview and he's got a Gardino one.
Multitasking, bro.
Right, a parallel universe. Okay, hit me to fucking Rough Church.
Rough Church, man, another friendship and, you know, family vibe of stemming from a session. You know, my friend Manny Nieto, engineer, recording engineer, he's like, hey, come play some percussion for this recording I'm doing. And I get in there and I start jamming with this guy, Greg Franco, and a couple of other people. And, man, it just kind of gelled, you know. And he's like, hey, come over to the house. And we went over to the house and he's like, hey, I got this other gig. It just kind of rolled into, you know, a friendship, you know, and being part of the band. And even though, like, you know, I'm always the busy guy, I can't commit to anything, right?
Right, the juggler.
This guy's leaving again, you know. But,
right.
Man, I mean, shit. Since 2013, man, we've been together. And, you know, anytime, you know, he needs some drums, I'm there for him, you know. So this is, you know, another baby, you know, that I like to, you know, put the word on about, you know, Rough Church.
Rough Church. What town's he from?
He's out of Mount Washington.
Okay, Mount Washington.
You know.
Sure. And you know, this Yeska, where was this recorded? Good sounds.
Yeska, that album was recorded at the, what's the spot right there off of Sunset? It was like an old... I don't know, it was an old theater. It was right kind of by the athletic club. It looked kind of a cool little area. I don't know, they had a little studio in there. I forget what the name of it is.
Okay.
But, yeah, the guys at the label or whoever was getting us to record, you know, had that, took over that
like,
studio.
And, like, what was it? Like, gig in front of the microphone, or was it a few days, or what?
I think we did it, like, in about 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and that was one time where, we sat in a studio rehearsing, and then we tracked it.
Okay, talking about studio stuff, where your drums, you still got a music room, right?
So I got my garage. It's filled.
Okay.
It's the Sanford and Sons of instruments, man. It's like Money Mark's garage.
So yeah, more like storage.
Top to bottom, like just whatever.
Stuff.
You know, I got PA, I got the guitar amp, I got the bass amp, I got the drums, I got the percussion. It's ready. It's ready to go. Luckily, during the pandemic, you know, I got it together and, yeah, I've been doing sessions from home now.
That's why I was asking you. You got a home studio, Fredo.
Yep.
Okay. And was it like everything else in music? You learn yourself?
Yeah, I mean, again, credit to Money Mark, you know.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I was watching, you know, Digio One, buying an old Apple G4 computer and starting it up and, you know, and learning that whole side of things, you know.
So dudes will send you files and then you'll play to them?
Yeah,
send them back? Yeah, okay. And there was a lot, last 2 years, a lot of that going on, right?
I want you to send it first. I'll
okay.
talk to you later.
Okay.
Oh, but this is not from me. This is from my friend.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay. It's my daughter's birthday on Thursday, so
uh-oh.
We're getting gifts.
Okay.
I love you, cousin.
Okay, so is there new Bongoloids on the way?
You know, I'm working on it. It's that thing where, you know, as a hired gun, I hardly have time for myself.
Right.
You know, so, but I, you know, what's a trip with, like you said, with technology, you know, I have an iPhone and there's GarageBand and I use my fingertips and I create on there too. So I have a lot of ideas that, you know, from different styles of music, you know, it's whatever inspires me. I'll be on a plane, you know, I'll name it after the country or city I'm in or whatever, you know.
Flying over.
You know, I'm like, this happened here, you know.
Right, right, diary entry. And what about the Gogols, the Gypsy Punk? You're going to join those guys, right?
You know, I recently stepped down from that drum position.
Wow.
And,
okay.
And I joined forces with, man, these legends named Los Lobos, man.
Oh, wow.
So I'm drumming for Los Lobos now. I haven't made, like, an official announcement. I just kind of let it flow, you know. And we've been on the road since July, and, man, I can't tell you, you know, what a joy it is to, like, you know, back those guys up.
Yeah.
So,
great,
you know, going
bass
back
man
to
in that
the
band.
The beginning. Oh, dude, Conrad. Bro.
Yeah, Conrad, bitching. And David.
David, all those guys.
Louis
Steve
yeah.
Berlin.
Right.
You know, Cesar Rosa.
Steve Berlin I actually knew before. He was playing with some other cats before he joined me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. And, wow, that's it. Okay, you're the Lobos drummer, man.
Wow. So, you know, I'm coming full circle here on a lot of things, man. It's crazy.
But was it the same thing? Their man was ready to step down?
Yeah, during the pandemic, I guess their guy, Bugs, Enrique
yeah.
Gonzalez, who goes by Bugs, just had to do his thing, you know. I don't know the real reason, but, you know, it's I had gotten reacquainted with the Lobos in January of 2020. I was with Rough Church up in Seattle, and we had a day off, and I ran into Caesar and his daughters on the street of Seattle. I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? What you guys doing? And they're like, we're playing tonight. So we went to the show that night, and of course, like, I mean, so I've been knowing the Lobos since high school, right? So
right.
Since I was like 14, 15. And I've been going to their shows because, you know, Louis B, hey, my dad's playing, come hang out. So I'd go to these shows, you know, so I'm just hanging out backstage. So that was, you know, I was learning about backstage with them, you know, it's like crazy. But I would sit in, you know, they'd get all their kids to sit in on the instruments, like at the encore. And so it kind of, you know, now that I'm there, they're like, oh, let's get Fredo, get on the congas, you know, and I jammed out with them. And then just jamming out and sitting in and visiting with them turned into like two other gigs, and one at the Fillmore and one in San Diego, like a few days after, you know. So all of a sudden, like, I got hired to be the percussionist for a couple shows, and that was the thing where I was just like, oh, I wonder where this is leading to. You know, I didn't think of drums or anything like that. You know, I was just like, oh, I'll play percussion, or, you know, if there's gigs available and I'm home, I'll do them, you know?
Right.
And then the pandemic hit, and then everybody's, you know, schedule just stopped.
Postponed.
And, so, you know, postponed.
Do you have a website of your own that people can find you
I'm working on it. I used to, and it kind of just, I let it dissolve.
Well, you get it back, and you get the new Bongoloids, and fuck, I want to go see the Lobos, too. But come back on the show when you get some more new Fredo Ortiz music also.
I would love to.
Yeah,
I would love
thank you so much. Fredo, you're an inspiration.
Right. I mean, you know, it's, I mean, it, that, like you said, it's like, you know, real life education, but then, you know, I was lucky and grateful to play with people that knew what they were doing too, or had that intuition of just, you know, just like, go for it.
Yeah. Let the freak flag fly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Way into it. Big love, brother. People, it's been October 26, 2021. This is Wat Pedro, so keep your powder dry.